But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
We welcome you today to the Living Waters Broadcast. We thank you for having tuned our way. A man in Vigo, Spain had a laundromat. He had some problems with people breaking into the machines and stealing the money. To combat the crime, he had placed in the laundromat a camera, and from home he could monitor it and see what was happening in the laundromat. He also had a program on his phone that allowed him to lock the door because during the late hours of the night, he didn't want people to be in there and be tempted to steal. One evening, kind of late, he was at home and he looked on his phone to see what was happening in the laundromat, and he saw that someone was robbing the machines. When he saw that, he pressed the button to lock the door, and he locked the thief inside. He then called the police. Did the thief know that he was being watched? If he had known that, he probably wouldn't have done what he did. My friend, I'd like to ask you a question today. Do you know that you're being watched? Do you know that God knows and sees your every move and thought? Hebrews 4:13 tells us, "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Have you ever thought about that? No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of whom to whom we must give an account. We are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. What would happen if you had to give an account to him tonight? Would you be innocent or guilty? Have you been angry today? Have you said unkind words to someone else today? Have you been selfish? Have you done today to others as you would have them to do to you? What about yesterday? What about the day before? What about all the days of last year? I think we know the answer to those questions, don't we? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That includes me, and it includes you. Romans 3:10, "None is righteous, no, not one." A friend of mine was traveling in Spain. He was coming down a mountain, and the road was windy. That day, he got behind a big truck carrying coal, and the truck was going very slow down the mountain because of the weight. As soon as he could, my friend passed the coal truck. A kilometer or so later, the police stopped my friend. He asked my friend if he had passed in a place that was prohibited, in a curve, and my friend said no. The police then asked my friend again, and again he said no. The police then asked my friend a third time. And when he asked him a third time, he put a picture of my friend's car, tag, face, and everything before him, with his wheels touching the solid line that means no passing. My friend then said, "The picture says it all." The police had a camera mounted up the road where my friend passed. There was nothing else for my friend to say. There were no excuses, no lying. There was the evidence. The picture said it all. My friend, God knows everything about us. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Romans 2:16 says, "God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ." He knows our secrets. We may have hidden them from other people, and no one on the earth may know it, but he does. God will judge the secrets of men. What about my secrets? What about your secrets, my friend? What about those hidden sins of the heart? Romans 14:12 says that each one of us will give an account of himself to God. An elderly lady had a garden, and every morning she would go out and pull a tomato for breakfast. One morning she went out and found all the tomatoes destroyed. They had been thrown all over the ground and busted. They were ruined. She wondered who could have done this. It had rained during the night, and she saw the footprints of children that came from the neighbor's house. It was obvious that the neighbor's children had destroyed her tomatoes. She walked over to the neighbor's house and mentioned to her what had happened. The neighbor said that her children would not do that, and they were innocent. The lady then asked the neighbor to come and look at the footprints of the children that led directly from her house to the garden and back. The neighbor went out and followed the footprints from her house to the garden of the lady and then back to her house. It was obvious that her children had done it. There was no way to hide it. My friend, what about the footprints of your thoughts, of your words, and your deeds? God sees it all, and there is no way to hide it. Why would the children enjoy doing such a thing? It is because they are sinners just like you and I. You and I are no different. We are sinners just as those children. Have you ever read Job 13:26 that says, "You write bitter accusations against me, and you hold me accountable for the guilt of my youth"? Another Bible translates it the following way: "You bring bitter charges against me, even for what I did when I was young." What about the day of judgment, my friend? Amos 4:12 says, "Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. Get ready to face your God." Are you prepared? Are you ready? How would you respond to God if it were today? Would you try to make excuses? Would you try to deny that you have had evil thoughts about other people? Would you say that you've never said unkind things to other people? Would you say that you have always been grateful and thankful, first of all to God and then to other people? Have you always been humble, or have you been proud, thinking that you are better than other people? Have we always sought to do the will of God and live lives pleasing to Him? Or have we lived for ourselves and sought our will? I think we know the answer to these questions. I think we know that the verdict will be guilty, 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 and guilty. Job asked a good question in Job 31:14. What could I do when God stands up to judge? How should I answer Him when He calls me to an account? He is going to call us to account one day. What if it were today? I know a man who burned down a business one time so the family could collect the insurance money. They had paid another man to set the fire. The police suspected the family for the fire, and after some investigations, they were pretty sure that the man I know had participated in it. They found out about the man who was hired to set the fire, and they talked with him. They put a tape recorder on him and had him to talk with the man who had paid him to set the fire. The police later listened to the recording, and it was the very evidence that they knew they needed to convict the man who had paid him to set the fire. What could he say when the police took him in and played the recording back to him? It was his voice, and he was admitting what he had done. There was nothing to do but to be sentenced and sent to jail. My friend, you and I are guilty. Guilty thousands of times over, and we both know it. We deserve to be sentenced to hell. But I have some good news for you today. God loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God offers us a way of salvation. He offers pardon to guilty sinners. This salvation and pardon is through the Lord Jesus Christ. What does a shepherd do when he loses a sheep, or when a mother sheep loses its lamb, and another lamb loses its mother? What the shepherd does is he takes the skin of the lamb that died, and he ties it on the lamb that lost its mother, and takes that lamb to the sheep that lost its lamb. She smells that lamb skin of her own lamb that has died, and she accepts the orphan lamb as her own. My friend, it is a little example that helps us to understand that God accepts us through the Lord Jesus, who died for our sins on Calvary's tree. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." There at the cross, the demands of the justice of God were met by the Lord Jesus Christ. The just and innocent one died for the guilty ones, such as you and I. You see, my friend, that lamb, that sheep that lost her lamb, she receives the other lamb, but through the one who died. She smells the skin. She thinks it's her lamb, and she receives him. But one has died, so she can receive this other one. It's a little example to help us understand, my friend. The Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross. He paid for our sins. He satisfied the justice of God. And God can receive us through his Son and his Son's work on the cross. You see, I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I can receive forgiveness and eternal life because Jesus went to that cross and took my place. My friend, today is the day to ask him for forgiveness, to renounce your rebellion, to turn back to God, and to give him thanks for having loved you, for having sent his Son to a cross to die for you and pay for your sin. Give him your life. Confess your sins to him. Receive him today as your Lord and as your Savior. Our time is gone. We thank you for having tuned in today, and we trust you'll be with us next week for the Living Waters broadcast.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.